Did you see the news about the lottery winner just the other day? BBC said this. A man who last month helped save the life of a police officer who had had a heart attack on a bus has won £1 million on EuroMillions lottery. Mr X, we'll call him, change his name, gave the officer CPR when he collapsed on a bus in April. He won the money in the EuroMillions draw on the 5th of May. The officer, who has since recovered, told Mr X, good karma happens to good people. Well, is that how it works? Good karma happens to good people? What goes around comes around? I was listening to a radio show and it was about a folk singer who died. And his wife was talking about him and said he passed and now he's with his brothers and sisters, I think it was, she said. Is that how it works? We don't die, we pass. And we go to be with other relatives who have already passed. Is that how it works? Well, I wonder how you're doing with lockdown. There's a real danger in lockdown that the temptation comes to us to start looking in other places other than the Lord Jesus and his truth, looking in other places for help and ideas, for perhaps more tangible spiritual things, things that we can grasp and feel, ideas that lots of other people share that maybe promise instant results to do with the riches and delights and pleasures of this world, or maybe just a sort of a spiritual high. It's great to be reminded in the silence and to hear of amazing truths about Jesus here. The writer to the Hebrews is writing to people who are being drawn back to their old religion, which was, in their case, Judaism. They were Jews who'd become Christians. And they were being drawn back to the things of Judaism because you could see them and feel them and touch them and do them. The rituals and the offerings and all that. And the writer says, no, Jesus is invisible, but incomparable. And today we're going to see that Jesus uniquely offers a new deal with God, bought with the most precious means to change our eternal destiny. In Coronatide, hope in Jesus is the only sure and true anchor for us. And that our Lord Jesus and hope in him deals with the past and the present and the future and destroys the idea of karma. So Jesus uniquely offers a new deal with God. This is verse 15. Something amazing is on offer. You can't get it anywhere else. You don't need to go anywhere else other than Jesus. Verse 15. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. This is full of wonderful things, isn't it, this verse? For this reason, it begins. Now, when we hear that, we know we've got to look back at what we heard last week and before that. The writer is building up his explanation of what Jesus has done. And last week, we saw that Jesus went into the heavenly, most holy place, that the earthly tabernacle was just a copy of what God was doing in heaven. And through Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, he made access to God possible. This was a fulfillment, the writer said, of all the Old Testament sacrifices, the tabernacle, the priesthood and the Day of Atonement, all fulfilled in Jesus. For this reason, there's a new deal, he says here. Not only has Jesus, verse 14, offered himself unblemished to God and cleanses our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. Not only that, but Christ is also the mediator of a new covenant. Wow. For this reason. He's the mediator. Did you see that? He's a mediator of the new covenant. Now, a mediator is a go-between, someone who negotiates a contract between two parties. And Jesus' actions, i.e., that is, his death on the cross and his resurrection, his going into the most holy place in heaven with his blood as a sacrifice. These actions uniquely qualify him to be a go-between between us and God. He is God the Son, and so he is the mediator. So what is this contract that he makes, this new deal that I've been talking about? It is the new covenant. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant. Now, there was an old covenant. The word covenant means a contract or deal between two parties. There was an old covenant, and that consisted of the Old Testament law and the tabernacle, the temple, all the sacrifices. And in order to be right with God, you first of all had to be a descendant of Abraham, and you had to do all the law. And if you could do all the law, you would be right with God. The problem was that even with God's grace and mercy at work, accepting the sacrifices, even though they didn't actually do anything that was waiting for Jesus, even with all that, the people in their hearts would wander off away from him. So the old covenant was broken. And the writer has already told us, have a look over the other side of your page in your Bibles, chapter 8, verse 7. If there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant." And he's done it in Jesus. Something new is needed, and that new covenant is coming in Jesus. So what is the new covenant, the new deal, the new contract? Verse 15, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that Jesus has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. What is this new covenant? Well, we need sins forgiven. We need sins forgiven. The old covenant wouldn't do it. The blood of bulls and goats wasn't enough, as we heard last week. But Jesus has, look, he has, end of the verse, died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. What is sin? Well, we fail to do what God wants. It's as simple as that. We don't put God at the heart of our lives where he deserves to be. If you just take the old covenant and sum it up in two laws, Jesus said they were, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. We struggle to love our neighbours, don't we? And boy, do we struggle to love God with all our heart, mind, soul and strength. And what does this do? It puts us in lockdown. Lockdown from God. We're unable to meet God. We can't go and meet him. We're locked down by sin. And Jesus sets us free. That's what he's done. He has, the verse says, died as a ransom to set them free from sin. His death paid the price. There was a price to pay, and it's death. We're not just in lockdown from God now, but we face his judgment and his condemnation, his guilty verdict that will lead us to hell. And so Jesus sets us free by his death as a ransom. Hallelujah. Now, if sins are forgiven under this new deal, what else can we expect? What can we have? He tells us, those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. The promised eternal inheritance. This is fantastic, isn't it? This is so much better than £1 million on the lottery. Honestly, it is. This is so much better than seeing your cousins or your brother and sister when you die, when you pass. This is, according to the book of Hebrews, to live in a new creation with God. He describes it as a new city, God's heavenly city, a new Jerusalem, with the living God there and face to face with Jesus, and with the joyful assembly of millions of others who have trusted in Jesus and worship and honour him. The promised eternal inheritance. How can we get this? Verse 15. Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. We're called. God is calling. Come and have it, he says. Anyone who is thirsty, let them drink from the river of the water of life, he says. And I think one of the purposes of this coronavirus time is God calling us, saying, look, your lives are a mess. You're way, way from me. You need me in your lives. You need what the Lord Jesus has done. He's calling. And when he calls, we have a choice. Will we respond or not? Will we receive his gift or not? So, what's the deal, the new deal? It is forgiveness of sins and the eternal inheritance. How do we get it? Jesus paid for it in his death. We hear and answer God's call. He's calling you. Is God calling me, you might think? Come to Jesus. That's God calling you. He's using his servant at this moment. So the question is, have you received the new deal? Have you received the new deal? Last weekend, a computer game company had a special deal for coronavirus time. They were offering about, I don't know, 30 or 40 of their games, which are all pretty good games, for about £30. That's 10% of the normal asking price. And I saw this deal and I thought, oh, that's interesting. I'll check with Claire, see what she thinks, because I do play the odd computer game here or there. And by the time I remembered it on Monday morning, the deal had gone. You had to pay full price. There was no deal anymore. Now, at the moment, Jesus's deal is there. It may not be there for you forever. Will you receive his deal? Have you? Many of us have received the new deal from Jesus, and we rejoice, don't we? The coronavirus pandemic is very unsettling for us, even if we trust in Christ. That we can't see our family the way we want to. You may have lost your job or your earnings. Perhaps your business is in serious danger or has gone bust already. There's a danger that we may die. And you may have lost people you love. They may have died from the virus. It's very unsettling. But Jesus has secured something solid and wonderful and sure. It towers above all these things and puts everything into a new perspective. Here's what he said earlier in the letter, 6 verse 18. We who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary beyond the curtain, where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He became a high priest forever. That's all we've been hearing about in the book of Hebrews, isn't it? So don't forget Jesus. Don't run off away after other things instead of him. Keep him at the heart of your faith. And don't underestimate the wonder of what Jesus has done in securing this new deal for you. Jesus uniquely offers a new deal with God, bought with the most precious means. Verses 16 to 26. Now we're going to skip through this a little bit more quickly than we did this previous section. Jesus uniquely offers a new deal with God, bought with the most precious means. How does Jesus get the new deal? How does he get it? It had to be with a death, the writer says. And only Jesus' death would do. It had to be with a death, and only Jesus' death would do. Verses 16 and 17 talk about a will. They talk about a will. And with a will that someone writes, so that their property can be given away when they die, it doesn't come into effect until you die. It may promise an inheritance, but until you die, when that person dies, nobody gets the inheritance. And so it is with Jesus. Death makes it happen. Verses 18 to 22. Under the old system, the old covenant, the old deal, the old contract, the old will, if you like, because it is actually the same word in the Greek, was sealed by death. So Moses had to do sacrifices and sprinkle blood all over everything. Verse 19. When Moses had proclaimed every command of the law to all the people at Mount Sinai, he took the blood of calves together with water, scarlet wool and branches of hyssop and sprinkled the scroll and all the people. It's pretty gory, isn't it? He said, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you to keep." You see, a will doesn't happen unless there's a death. Here's the death. The covenant is sealed with it. And those words are great, aren't they? This is the blood of the covenant. Where have you heard those before? On the lips of the Lord Jesus, as he was at the Last Supper, changing the Passover meal and giving it a new meaning. He took the cup and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant shed for you." So when we take the cup and the bread, they're signs, aren't they, to remind us of Jesus' death for us. The death that seals the covenant, verse 23 to 26. He's already said in that last week's passage, verses 11 to 14, that Jesus' death is the perfect sacrifice. So is it also a perfect covenant sealer? It works as a sacrifice to take away sins. Does it work to seal covenants, a big covenant like this with God? Yes. And it purifies the heavenly places and does away with sin all at the same time. Verse 26. Christ has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. You have been bought with the most precious means. The new deal has come into place with the most precious means. Our bins outside here, outside the rectory, stand underneath a fir tree. It's an amazing tree, beautiful thing. It's rare in some way. But there's sap that drips down from it all the time, and it covers the bins. And if you get the sap on your hands, it's virtually impossible to get it off. If you wash your hands with soap, nothing happens. It just stays on, even the best, nicest soap you can find. How can you get it off? Only one thing will do. Vegetable oil. Vegetable oil. You rub vegetable oil into your hands and it loosens it up, and then you wash them with soap and it's gone. Only one thing will do, and it does the job perfectly. And so it is with our sin and with a new deal with God. Only one thing will do to seal that. Only one thing will do to take away our sin, and it does the job perfectly. Once for all, Jesus' amazing death on the cross. So maybe in this lockdown time, you're looking for spiritual things and some new meditation scheme has been offered to you. Perhaps you decided you've got to light a candle every evening, or find a spiritual director on FaceTime to help you. Perhaps you wish that you could have Holy Communion in church, in the building. Or maybe you're looking for something else, something that you can see or feel that's tangible. None of them do the job. And none of them is necessary, because Jesus has done the job with the most precious means, his own life, his blood shed for us. Don't underestimate the great cost of what Jesus has done. Stick with him. So Jesus uniquely offers a new deal with God, bought with the most precious means. Why? To change your eternal destiny. To change your eternal destiny. You see, it's not karma and what goes around comes around. No, neither is it. When I pass, I'll see my brother. No. Have a look, verse 27. People are destined to die once, and after that, face what? Their brothers and sisters? Their cousins? People are destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. Who is it we see when we pass, which means dying? We're just too scared to say it. Jesus as judge. That's who we'll see. Jesus as judge. And if we're left to ourselves, then when we meet him, the verdict will be guilty. Guilty of sin against the holy God. Think about lockdown easing this week and the Prime Minister's speech on Sunday and what's happened since. It's a perfect example, isn't it, how we human beings, are incapable of following instructions. People ask us to do something, we just can't do it. So have we been allowed to have people into our homes or gardens who we don't live with? Have we? No. It's not there in anything that's been said. On Sunday or in this week, we can meet one person in a public park and be separated 2 metres from them. But you can't have them in your house, and you can't have them in your garden. Not a member of your family or someone, a friend. You have a cleaner, but that's another matter. What have people been doing? They've been having friends round, into the garden, barbecue, the lot. It's like sin, isn't it? We just can't follow instructions. Only with God, we're guilty before him. We think we know better than the Prime Minister, the government. We think we know better than God. And so the verdict, when we see Jesus as judge, is guilty. Guilty. But thanks be to God that his blood, his death, changes things. Jesus brings a massive change. What Jesus has done changes your eternal destiny. That's driving some of you mad, isn't it, that microphone? Sorry about that. What Jesus has done changes your eternal destiny. Here's God's plan for your life. And this works whether it's coronavirus time or not. Here's God's plan for your life if you receive Jesus' new deal. Well, either Jesus returns in your lifetime or you die before he does. Have a look at verse 27, 28. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take the sins of many, that's the death, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. That's meeting him. So instead of judgment, you can face salvation through Jesus. He's bringing salvation to those who are waiting for him. So here's God's plan for your life if you receive the new deal. Either Jesus returns in your lifetime. He's going to come back. He's going to appear a second time. We don't know when, but he promises he will. Not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. He doesn't need to bear sin. He's done it. But bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So this is rejoicing, isn't it? If you're waiting for Jesus, if you put your life in his hands, you're waiting for him, and this is great news. He's already taken your sin, and he's going to come back for this other kind of salvation, which is to take you into his kingdom, that holy place of the holy city and the joyful assembly that I mentioned earlier and that he speaks about later in Hebrews. Wow! Or maybe you die before Jesus returns. In which case, hooray! This still means rejoicing. Jesus has taken your sin, and he will welcome you into his new creation. Now, notice, just as a little aside, just so we get this clear, who do you see when you die? Who will you see when you die? Jesus. Jesus. That's who we want to see. That is so much better than anyone else. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. He is the one who's exalted above every name in heaven and on earth. Jesus, who gave himself for you. That's the blessed hope that we have. Now notice as well that in this passage, Jesus deals with the past, the present and the future. He's the same yesterday, today and forever, bringing us salvation. The past, verse 15, he set us free from the sins committed beforehand. The present, verse 24, present day sins, he stands before us. He entered heaven itself now to appear for us in God's presence. Now to appear for us in God's presence. Today. He intercedes for you, bringing forgiveness of sins. And the future, verse 28, he's going to return to bring the completeness of his salvation, past, present, and future. This is to change your eternal destiny. You know, there's lots of talk about well-being, isn't there, in this coronavirus time. Some of that's very helpful, don't get me wrong. It's timely. You know, having exercise, talking with people on the phone or whatever, taking breaks from the screen, these things are great for our mental health and our physical health. But be careful, because there's only one who cares for your true well-being. There's only one who has done and is doing and will do what we truly need. Don't underestimate the impact of what Jesus has done. There is a danger, isn't there, that the COVID lockdown makes us a bit short-sighted. And we look down and then we put our eyes onto something more immediate and take them away from Jesus. Brothers and sisters, the lottery is not the answer. Karma doesn't work. It never has. It never will. Folk religion does not function even. Jesus may be invisible, but he is incomparable. Look up. Jesus uniquely offers a new deal with God, bought with the most precious means to change your eternal destiny. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, maybe we have underestimated the wonder of what you've done and the sheer scale of it, of what Jesus has done. Change our hearts, Lord, to see the forgiveness of sins, the eternal inheritance, the new covenant, new deal he has made for us. Perhaps, Lord, we have underestimated the great cost of what Jesus has done, him giving his own life for us. Thank you for his great love and self-giving. Perhaps, Lord, we have underestimated the impact of what Jesus has done. He has changed our eternal destiny if we receive him and answer his call. We praise you, Lord, and we pray for those who are hearing this who have not answered the Lord Jesus' call. Help them to respond today. We pray for those of us who have heard the call and follow Jesus. Strengthen us, encourage us, set our eyes fully on him, and make his hope that sure anchor for our souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.